is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are rolling along on this Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings alongside three-time Super Bowl winning executive and strategist, Mr. Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. We're coming to you from coast to coast. Michael's out on his side of the country in Jersey. I'm here live in Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino in downtown. We got a lot to cover over the next hour. Mike Somich, VSiN host and professional handicapper, is going to join us in about 15 minutes, give out some of his favorite plays for the upcoming NFL slate, which is where we will dive in right away because we've got lots of quarterbacks to update the folks at home on. A couple guys in concussion protocol. Zach Wilson still in the protocol. CJ Stroud, as well as Trevor Lawrence. But the Trevor Lawrence one, Michael, I find pretty interesting because while Doug Peterson said today he's progressing well ahead of their game this weekend against the Buccaneers, the line is sitting Jags plus one in Tampa right now, which seems to indicate maybe a little more is going on.
It does. It really does. I mean, to me, the way this line has flipped, and I know what Doug said, which makes you think, oh, okay, he's going to play. But the line indicates there's no chance he's playing. I mean, I don't see that. So that's a worry, you know. And usually we see these, there's a reason for the line movements here, right? And then when you kind of peel back, I know on every board's different, right? Every board has different, you know, DraftKings gets money. You know, it's hard to predict everything based on the numbers, but it seems to be like even though Jacksonville's getting a lot of the money, the number's moving towards Tampa, which tells you a very strong tale that he's not going to play and that Tampa's going to face C.J. Beathard,
yep,
which would be perfect. I don't know how to predict Tampa. I really don't. Like, I watched them against Atlanta, Stormy, and they should not have won that game. I mean, Baker let him down the field. It was his best drive of the game. Atlanta played good defense for the most part. They turned the ball over like they typically always do. And then they go up to Green Bay, and I don't know what Green Bay was trying to do with them. I really don't. Green Bay's game plan against Baker Mayfield was just staggering to me, just staggering. Now, the other thing we haven't talked enough about here in this game when it pertains to Jacksonville is their health at receiver, right? So we saw Zay Jones. Yep. Get hurt. Right, he left the game last week. We know Christian Kirk is still out. So, like, where are they? And they're a three-receiver team with no run game. They have no toughness, and they're a three-receiver team. And that's why they've lost three in a row. I mean, they've lost three in a row. They've lost four of their last six games. Since the bye week, we have this perception of Jacksonville as being this elite team. You know, they beat a bad Tennessee team, and they went to Houston and won that game down there. But their injury report, I mean, you know, when you sit there and you look at them, you're worried about it. I mean, even ATN last week had, you know, his ribs were bothering him. Is he 100%? Zay Jones went into the game with a knee injury, and he didn't stay in the game.
And we're talking about all of these offensive issues, but defensively over this three-game skid as well, they've allowed an average of 425 yards per game, 31st in the NFL in that time. They're turning the football over, five turnovers in the last two games. There's a lot of stuff that's going wrong with this Jacksonville team. So I think this line is an indication of, yes, the health and the quarterback situation, maybe a little bit of an overinflated view of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming off a game in which Baker Mayfield threw for nearly 400 yards and had a perfect passer rating and four touchdowns. So if we're betting this game today, which side would you lean based on all the things that we just laid out?
I would lean towards Tampa and feel like, you know, their defense played okay last week. You know, Jordan Love is so inaccurate, it's hard to really judge that, you know, there should have been more completions because he is so inaccurate. But I think to me, as a complete team with toughness, yeah, I think the Bucs are playing better right now, and they're playing at home, so you got to favor them. And if Lawrence isn't going to play, where do they go for offense? You know, if you don't have Lawrence, you don't have Zay Jones, all you have is Ridley. I mean, I think they can take Ridley out of the game.
Good point. Total in this game as well, sitting 42. Another quarterback, Will Levis, dealing with an ankle. He's not practicing again today, but he was just at the podium, said he feels a lot better than Monday. So it seems like trending toward Levis being okay, yeah, for that game. They're a 2.5-point dog against Seattle. If he was not able to go, it would be Ryan Tannehill. On the other side of that, looks like Geno Smith should be practicing all week and be good to go, according to Pete Carroll.
You know, it's funny. You know, I always, morning I get up, I keep track of the lines and look at the lines. And I was surprised to see that this service we belong to has Will Levis listed as the starter, and rarely do they do that. It's usually like the Jets are TBD. Seattle is even TBD. But Tennessee is Will Levis, which I kind of was shocked by. I didn't think he'd be ready to play, you know? And so, you know, this is a game where this is a tough matchup for Tennessee. You want to fade Seattle after that great win, right? You want to fade them thinking, okay, they're hot to trot. They're coming back. I know they're desperate, but they have not played. You know, can they play with any consistency? But this is a matchup that really favors them. They can throw the ball on this secondary. And this team has no ability, Tennessee, to stop the forward pass. They really don't. So I think they can make some plays, and I think they can run the ball. I think the way Kenneth Walker ran the ball on that first drive of the second half against Philadelphia was outstanding, made people miss. This is a big game for them, and it's the right matchup for them, too, because they can get a team that's not great offensively, right? I mean, we know Tennessee doesn't throw the ball with great consistency, and if they can stop the run, hard thing to do for Seattle, if they can stop the run, they got a chance to get somewhere. Remember, this Tennessee team, because of their offensive line, we have this perception that they're really good at running the football. They're 22nd in the league in yards per attempt. You know, they try to run it. They can't.
Other injuries, just real quickly, Brian Robinson with the Commanders, he didn't practice again today. He didn't practice last week and did miss their game against the Rams, so maybe on trajectory for that once again. Tyreek Hill not practicing today, but according to Mike McDaniels, just one of those things where they want to give him as much rest as possible, so he'll be all cylinders go for an important game against the Dallas Cowboys. And this one I did find interesting as well, because we kind of alluded to this yesterday. Ja'Marr Chase for the Cincinnati Bengals will officially be out this week, potentially even next week as well, though, with a separated shoulder. How impactful is that for Jake Browning? And I mean, obviously such a safety net type of a receiver. What kind of an impact could that have on their game this week?
I think it's going to have a huge one, right? Because they're going to walk into a hornet's nest. Now I know a lot of the Steeler people are unhappy and their team's not going anywhere, but this is still a tough venue to play in. And Mike Tomlin will have his team ready, whether they're good enough. I mean, I think, you know, losing an elite receiver like Chase, where he draws the coverage, is a real problem. And, you know, for the Steelers, they're going to go against a Bengal team that doesn't have DJ Reader inside, which is really one of their best run players. So Pittsburgh should be able to have a run game unless at home. You know, and I don't know what Mason Rudolph brings. He hasn't thrown a pass since 2021. He's always been a quarterback who needs to see a guy open. He needs play action pass. But I think this is a hard game. When you take away when you're an 11 team and you take away the one receiver who draws the coverage, who basically you can put three receivers to one side and take one to the other side and say, okay, now I know what we have, it makes it hard on everybody else.
Yeah, Bengals without Chase, laying 2 in Pittsburgh, total in that one, 37. Let's hit your top teams in the National Football League now, Michael. Every week you update your power ratings based exclusively on numbers. We're not putting bias. We're not putting recent play into this. It is exclusively on your numbers. So let's get through it. Who's your top 5 in the NFL right now?
Well, you know, obviously it's not a hard thing to look at. We know that San Francisco is the best team in the league.
Yeah, we do.
I think that's pretty clear. I know you've been saying that all year. Baltimore moved up. You know, last week I thought what they did in Jacksonville, I didn't think they played perfectly, but they won. Buffalo has been moving up steadily. Dallas moved down because of the numbers they allowed defensively, and Kansas City stayed at the 15. Miami is 6th. Philadelphia is still in the top 10. Philadelphia, Detroit, and the Rams have moved up quite a bit. Jacksonville has moved down. Jacksonville was trending in the right direction. They're not.
Because you mentioned the Eagles, they're not in the top 5 anymore, but not too far out. They're looking to get out of that 3-game skid. It appears Landon Dickerson's going to have thumb surgery today, so he's going to miss time. Potentially out, I think, both of their guards now up front. So what do you expect for the Eagles this week? I know it's Tommy DeVito and the Giants, but it's a big spread for Philadelphia.
Well, look, I think they've always had success against Philly because they can handle the pressure. And the Giant defensive line struggles to get pressure on Hurts. Now, the way Hurts is playing, you don't need pressure because he's looking at the rush so damn much that his eye level's down and he's taken off. I mean, everybody now sees this on tape. And when he goes out of the pocket it's not necessarily a good thing for the offense, for the ego offense. So, look, the Cowboys have been, the Cowboys have dominated this the Giants in down and down. They couldn't cover them. And I think the Eagles are in the same venue. I think the Eagles will have – the Giants will have a hard time covering them. Plus, I can't imagine that they're not going to take away – this single element of this Giant offense, which is just try to get the run game going and throw the quick rhythm game to with the quarterback. I don't understand why they didn't make the move to go back to at least Tyrod Taylor to give him a chance.
Michael, which game do you think we will learn more from? San Francisco, Baltimore, or Dallas, Miami?
I think Dallas, Miami. I mean, look, San Francisco, Baltimore, the winner of the game, it's great. They're going to get all the press. You're going to want to bet against them the week after because they're going to be reading their clippings. But they're two really good teams. The Miami-Dallas game has two teams that have some liability. They're really good teams. You know, they're really good teams. But they have some elements that they're not perfect in. And we're going to find out which team can expose one element and which team can't.
And they both need to prove to an extent that they can beat a good team. I think that's been such a knock for both of these squads all season and for Dallas doing something on the road. That spread, Dallas getting a point and a half in Miami, and the 49ers laying 5.5 at home against Baltimore. That number surprised me a little bit. I think that's going to be a really it's going to be a really close game. So I'm excited for it.
It's an interesting number. It's like it's telling you something. Yeah. I'm not sure what it's telling you, you know?
It makes me uncomfortable. I don't like looking at it. We will be right back with VSiN's own Mike Somich, professional handicapper, joining us next. Get some of his favorite plays for the week ahead.
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Looking to bet smarter? VSiN's got the perfect holiday gift for you. Sign up on our holiday special today and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $79. Sign up, you'll get unlimited access to our daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video, plus all our betting guides and best bets for the college bowl games, the Super Bowl, and March Madness will be here before you know it. Don't miss out, though. This is a limited time holiday offer. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to sign up on our holiday special now. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome into the show Mike Somich, VSiN host of The Handle here on VSiN and DraftKings Network. Also, we're going to see you on Sharp Money today, I believe, as well, right?
Yeah, well, you're running the full NFL board at 4:30 Eastern time on Sharp Money, too. So if you want all the opinions for the full slate of games on Saturday and Sunday, make sure you check that out.
Heck yes, we are getting after it, Mike. Well, appreciate you joining us today. I know we're usually on the Thursday spot, so we're changing it up a little bit, but you're the man for doing this. And you actually have a play for the Thursday night football game that's coming up tomorrow. You like the Rams. I love them as well. So you don't have to sell me, but let the people at home know why.
Yeah, I love the Rams at -4. I'm actually excited we're doing this today, Stormy, because there's a couple lines that I'm going to talk about that I don't think are going to be available tomorrow at the normal time. One of those is Rams -4. We're starting to see some Rams money come into the market. You can see them -112, -115 in a lot of places, that -4 number. I think they're going to keep taking money in this spot. It's a situation where the Rams have really found their offensive game once they've reinserted Kyren Williams into the lineup, and a Saints defense that doesn't stop the run very well. So I think you're going to see a lot of success there from the Rams. On the other side of the ball, this Saints offense still banged up. I don't trust Derek Carr, and their red zone offense specifically has been absolutely atrocious for them this year. They're going to need to score touchdowns against this Rams team, not kick field goals, and I don't trust that the Saints are going to be able to do that. The Rams, we've seen Cooper Kupp get healthy over the last couple weeks. He's gone over 100 yards the last 2 weeks. Kyren Williams, the last four games, 88 or more rushing yards. I think this all points toward the Rams in a great spot for them, where the Saints have to travel across the country on a short week with one of the worst coaches in the NFL against the spread. So happy to lay the four here with the Rams. And on top of that, I'm going to go right to Kyren Williams and take a rushing prop here as well. He's gone for over 100 yards in three of his last four games, got 88 yards in that other game. His total is sitting at just 88.5 yards for tomorrow's game. I love the over in this spot. I think he's going to get absolutely fed. We've seen him get 20-plus carries in four of the last five games. And this Saints defense, well, yes, they stopped the Giants' run game last week, had given up 5-plus yards per carry the three previous weeks. If they're giving up anywhere near 5-plus yards per carry against Kyren Williams, he's going to go over that 100-yard mark. And I love the fact that there's no one to steal carries from him either. You're not going to see Stafford run the ball. No one else in the backfield is getting carries. So I think Kyron Williams is going to fly over that 88.5 number.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the one thing when you watch this team and you see them operate in the Rams, when they get that run game going, man, they are deadly and they're hard to defend, and they and everything sets up there, and it takes the pressure off of – it really takes the pressure off of Stafford to have to be perfect every single play. So let's stay in Los Angeles. Bills coming to Chargers. It's going to be the Bills are going to be the home field. I mean, Dean Spanos is going to come to that stadium and think he's in Buffalo because there's going to be so many Bill Mafia fans out there. You like James Cook to continue this trend of running the ball against this Brendan Staley former defense that could never stop the run ever since he was there.
That is a great matchup here for James Cook. I mean, it's going to be Christmas, Buffalo Christmas in Los Angeles. If you're in Buffalo, why not fly out to L.A. for Christmas here? Get a little bit of weather. Put some Christmas lights on some palm trees and have a good time where you just get to see your team obliterate the Chargers. And James Cook specifically, this is a great matchup for him. He's coming in here. We saw Buffalo really establish the run, over 20 carries last week for James Cook. But this is something we've seen consistently since Joe Barry took over the offensive play calling. I think you're going to see them run the ball quite a bit in this game against the Chargers. And the Cook prop is sitting at just 68.5 yards. I was surprised it was that low, especially off last week's performance. But there's really no reason for them not to keep running the football. You mentioned it, Michael. This Chargers team hasn't been able to stop the run for almost 3 years. They're another one that's giving up 5-plus yards per carry to running backs over the last three games. And I do have a little more fear that you're going to see Ty Chandler get a couple carries. You're going to see Josh Allen get a couple carries. But at the same time, if we get to 15 carries here with James Cook, he's going to go over that 68.5-yard rushing total. So I do like him quite a bit there. If you want to get a little interesting here, some of the anytime touchdown scores I did think were interesting. Ty Chandler, for instance, he's plus 425 in this game. I see a world here where Buffalo's up 21 points at some point in this game, and you're seeing some of those Ty Chandler runs, especially in the red zone. So don't hate the idea of a Ty Chandler anytime touchdown in this spot at 4-1. But for me, this is James Cook over 68.5 yards all day.
Yeah, and boy, does he take the pressure off of Josh Allen and make him where he doesn't have to do everything. Unbelievable game against the Cowboys. It was really, really fun to watch this Buffalo team. And so now we look forward to the Lions, who are taking on the Minnesota Vikings this week. Vikings dropped three of their last four. The Nick Mullins experience on display. It seemed like the Lions have found their groove again. Are they back? Do you trust them again in this spot?
I don't know if they're back. I don't think they ever went anywhere. This just isn't a great Lions team. But when they get indoors and in a dome and they can sling the ball around and they can establish the run, they are a very, very dangerous offense. This is three in most places. So you can get the Lions plus three right now. Go get it. This is one of those games where if we're talking tomorrow, I wouldn't be giving this one out because it'd be at -3.5 and not everywhere. But you can find minus threes on the Lions. I love the Lions here, minus the three. Talked about this in my VSiN article that was released yesterday on VSiN.com as well. It's just a great spot for them. We've got a Lions offense that is very good facing the blitz. It's something that you don't hear a lot. But if you don't get to Jared Goff when you blitz, he is able to pick you apart, especially in cover three defenses, which the Vikings run almost 40% of the time behind their blitz. So I expect that the Vikings are going to bring it here with the Flores defense, and the Lions are going to be able to sling it all over the place. They're also one of the few teams that's completely healthy now on the offensive side. They've got their offensive line back intact. You've got both Gibbs and Montgomery in the backfield. You've got St. Brown. You've got Laporta. You've got everything you need to be able to consistently move the ball against a Vikings defense. And you turn it around on the other side. Look, Ty Chandler not going to go for over 130 yards again in this game. You got Nick Mullins, who was good, I thought, last week. And I really appreciated the play calling from the Vikings. They threw the ball a lot, specifically play action early in down series, which allowed Nick Mullins to have some success. But I don't trust he's going to be able to just keep it rolling. He's going to make mistakes in this game. And if you give this Lions team a short field, they're going to take advantage of it. This is, again, a situation where Goff doesn't have to leave a dome for the rest of the year, which is going to help this Lions offense. So I think it's all systems go here for Detroit. I'll lay the three with them.
Yeah, I mean, look, Detroit, when the conditions are perfect and you hit the nail on the head, when our man Goff is protected and he feels comfortable, those over routes and in cuts that he throws are as good as it gets. You've got a prediction for a Super Bowl. I think Stormy's going to like part of it and like the end of result, I think.
Yeah, I talked about the Bills to win the AFC on the handle a couple weekends ago. Got them at 25-1 to win the AFC. And a lot of people out there are like, well, that number's gone. How can I try and get a good number on this Buffalo Bills team, which, Michael, I saw was number three in your power rankings and is moving up in everybody's power rankings over the last couple weeks. Well, right now, if you go over to DraftKings.com and you want to get a decent number, you can get 16-1 on San Francisco to take on Buffalo for an exact Super Bowl matchup. Don't need to pick the winner. Just need the two teams to make it there. San Francisco right now, minus 110 to make the Super Bowl from the NFC. And to be honest, if they stay healthy, they are going to be very, very difficult to beat in that conference. And then you get that nice price. Buffalo right now, 6-1 to win the AFC. But if you put them with San Francisco, you're getting 16-1. So a very good price there to combine those two, kind of play a parlay for your AFC and NFC winner, except it's paying more than what it would if you just parlayed those two together. So if you want to get a piece of Buffalo right now, I think a good way to get a good number is to look at the exact Super Bowl matchup right now. It's 16-1 for San Francisco versus the Bills.
Yeah, you're always really good about that, finding like unique and alternate approaches because Buffalo right now sitting plus 650 to win the AFC, which again, on the outside looking into the playoff picture right now, but because of the way that they're playing, a very, very dangerous team, no question. And truly, if I were to give you San Francisco versus the field in the NFC, like I would still want to probably take San Francisco in that spot, no?
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, Stormy, especially with the way this is broken, right? We've seen the Cowboys really struggle on the road. This Philadelphia Eagles team has a new hole that's showing up every single week. And San Francisco, the one bugaboo for them is health. Yeah. Can they stay healthy through this process? Right now, they are a completely healthy team. Now, we've got a couple weeks left. They got to get through the playoffs. But they're going to get the number one seed in the NFC, which means everyone's coming to San Francisco to be able to get to the Super Bowl. That means Dallas has to win on the road. That means Philly has to win on the road. And we've already seen this San Francisco team truck both of them. So it's hard to believe that they shouldn't be even money in that conference right now. So I'm one of those guys who's like, I can't bet San Francisco because I'm worried if they lose McCaffrey, if they lose Debo, they're a very different team. But at this point, we're getting so close to the playoffs that I'm going to look for big numbers with them. And I love the idea of teaming them up with the Bills, who, look, they have the Chargers and then they have the Patriots. If they win both of those games and the Dolphins lose one of the two to either the Cowboys or at the Ravens, all of a sudden week 18 in Miami is for the division. So we're not even talking about a playoff spot. We're talking about a first round home game here for Buffalo in some cases. So I love how it's broken for the Bills here. I think it's a good time to get a price on them and love teaming them up with San Francisco.
Do you think Tyree Hill breaks 2,000 because of what you just said about protecting players with the injury?
I think it's going to be interesting. He didn't practice today. They're saying it's all systems go. I would expect that he's going to have a decent chance of putting up numbers in both of these two games. But I would also expect that Miami is not going to show everything here. If they lose one of these games, then that final game against Buffalo is for the division. They want to make sure he is 100% healthy for that game. That's going to be the most important for their season. I think they're going to try and see what they can do against Dallas. But if he doesn't go crazy, we'll see what happens against Baltimore.
Mike, thanks for doing this, buddy.
You got Thanks, it. Mike. Happy holidays.
Yes, make sure you check him out later on today after our show on Sharp Money. Also, The Handle every weekend from 7 to 10 Eastern. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line. The holidays are here. It can be stressful to figure out what you want to get your friends and family. Well, let Omaha Steaks take the guesswork out of gifting. Shop carefully curated gift packages that are guaranteed to make spirits bright all winter long. Go to omahasteaks.com. You'll save 50% off site-wide. Plus, if you use the promo code we've got, VSIN, at checkout, you get an additional $30 off your order. Send tender, juicy, butcher's cut filet, mouthwatering burgers, gourmet jumbo franks, or even easy-to-prep meals that are ready in a flash with Omaha Steaks. The possibilities are endless. OmahaSteaks.com, 50% off site-wide, and you get an additional $30 off when you use our promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, Omaha Steaks. A gift from the heart, minimum order may be required. And one of our wonderful producers here on the Lombardi Line, Stephanie Kamershack, she gets Omaha Steaks as a gift every year, already broke into it. Wow. She didn't even wait for the holiday. She got that in the mail, and she was off to the races, ready to go.
She knows she's going to get it every year? How do you get that?
Well, apparently the mother-in-law is doing her job diligently, so I need to get some of that in my life. Michael,
yeah, I got to get that.
How's your holiday shopping been going? You geared up? You got everything you need?
I think I'm in good shape, Stormy. Yeah, I'm in good shape. Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Now, I had a couple good ideas, you know, and put the plan to action. I only have to shop for one, so it's not that hard, you know.
Not the grandkids?
I mean, not really, no. I mean, what do you, you know, they're all 6 and under. I mean, I'm taking them to a basketball game tonight, which is something I would love to, I wanted to do, but just two of them. I don't have the other two with me right now, but yeah. I mean, whatever the little girl wants, she's going to get. I mean, she's just asking me, and she's going to get it.
I was going to say, Michael, that's true. She doesn't need a holiday.
Every day is Christmas for her. I mean, she comes running to me. I mean, that's it. It's over.
Yep.
It's done.
Yep. That'll be fun, though, at the game tonight. I know we were talking about it a little bit earlier off the air, but get the pretzel and hot dogs going. You guys will be all set. That'll be a blast.
A great game, too. I mean, you know, I don't think people realize how good Minnesota's played this season, right? I mean, they're playing really well, and so you get a good game. Philly lost to the Bulls the other night, which was disappointing. They didn't shoot well late. They were shooting it really well earlier, but, I mean, this Timberwolves team's 20-5, and they've played really well, you know, and they've played well on the road. They've won 9 games on the road. They're on a 3-game win streak, so this will be a tough matchup. If they can make Big Boy run up and down the court, it'll be hard for him.
Hey, I mean, Gobert kind of does. He's got back-to-back 40-point games. Give him a break.
Oh, he's always good. Yeah, he's going to score. It'll be fun to watch Gobert go against him and see how that matchup goes, you know, because, you know, he doesn't want to go in the low post, and Gobert is really a good low post defender. So kind of what's going to happen, how they're going to substitute, how they're going to play this, right? Because, you know, Gobert, like in the playoff times, a lot of times he's taken out of playoff games because nobody plays a center that plays with its back to the basket.
76ers favored by 3.5 in the game, total 226. So get your hot dog, get a pretzel, teach the grandkids about the spread, and it'll be great. I wasn't even going to bring up the Bulls game. I thought that you might be in like crisis mode after Chicago, so I'm glad that you're in good spirits.
Well, one thing I think about the NBA is because they play so many games, you can't overreact in November, December, or even January, really. I mean, like, this is a league that February 1st, I think after the trade deadline, it really starts. You got to pay attention to it. I mean, JBT does a great job, and everybody here at the network does a tremendous job in handicapping basketball, and it's important. But I think for me, it really becomes more interesting once the trade deadline's over, and then we start to see some of these teams.
Fair. Let's give a little plug for our guy, JVT. Make sure you download and subscribe to the Hardwood Handicappers podcast. He and Kelly Bidlin do an excellent job on that, getting you set for the slates each week. So something we were talking about with Mike Somich moments ago when he was with the program was about the Dolphins Bills potentially. The division could be up in the air in that final regular season finale. The Dolphins are a -270 favorite in the division. Bills are +210. Do you think that could happen? Do you think Buffalo could still get the division?
Well, Buffalo gets to 11, right? But if Buffalo wins all their games, they get to 11. I always look at the number. Can you get to the number, right? And what Somich is saying is if they lose 2 or 3, they get to 11. And if one of those losses is again against Buffalo, they're out of it. So it's really, yeah. I mean, it could easily happen. I mean, we know Buffalo has the easy part of their schedule now, right? So Buffalo has to go. They got the Chargers out in Los Angeles, come back, play New England at home, then they go to Miami. So we know they're going to get to 10 wins, right? We know that. Whereas the Miami has Dallas, okay? They lose that one, they're 10-5. Then they've got to go to Baltimore. They lose that one, they're 10-6. And then Buffalo game, both teams are 10-6. He's right.
Very reasonable.
Now, what happens is if they beat Dallas, they get to 11, right? They're going to get to 11. The Dallas one, you know, gets them to 11. Buffalo can get to 11. They're still in it, right? If they lose to Baltimore, now they can't, you know, now they got a chance for that game because we know this. Going into Buffalo the last weekend, for a degree of certainty, the Buffalo Bills will have 10 wins, right? They're going to win the next two games. They're going to win the next two games. They're going to beat New England, who they lost to earlier in the season. Let's assume they beat them, and let's assume they beat the Chargers. Now we're going in. So all it's going to take is one stub of the toe, whether it's Dallas or Baltimore, and they got a chance. And I think they win the tiebreaker because they would have beaten Miami twice.
Crazy to think, too, after Buffalo dropped 3 of 4 before the bye, and then you knew that they had at Kansas City and against the Dallas Cowboys on the way, that it was going to be such an uphill battle for them. Everybody counted them out. Wow, look at the way that things have changed, and now potential still to be live and win that division. Again, +210 the price for Buffalo should they get in that situation by the regular season finale against Miami.
I mean, look, they're 8-6 right now, and they're in the ninth hole. They're in the ninth hole. They're 8-6. But there's a good chance that by week 18, they're going to be 10-6. Now, is Miami going to be 11-5? Or is Miami going to be 10-6 then too? Right? Because if it, the only way they get in is they both have to get to 11. If Miami gets to 13 and wins three games in a row, they're out.
It's crazy looking at if that Miami playoff gets picture. Go ahead.
Right. Well, Miami gets to 12. They win two of the next three games, right? That they beat, say they beat Dallas, and they now they're at 11. They beat Baltimore. Now they're at 12. Buffalo has to be a wild card.
They'll
play that game. That game in Miami, week 17, will mean nothing.
There are seven teams right now, as you look at that playoff picture on your screen, that are either 8-6 or 500 sitting at 7-7. It is that those wild cards, it's going to be really, really chaotic to see who ends up getting those three spots ultimately. Okay, these last couple of minutes, let's cruise through some of the biggest spread disparities that we are seeing in terms of handle and bets, starting with that Thursday night game, because we've already got more heavy handle on that one with the game coming up tomorrow. The Rams laying 4. We like it. Somich likes it. The public likes it too. 92% of the handle, 83% of bets taking the Rams against the Saints. You think that's the right side?
Well, I do think, but I always worry when the public's with you.
Yep.
You always have to worry about that. And look, you know, last week I thought was a really come together win for the Saints. You could feel their energy. I don't trust the Saints defense. I'm with you on that. But look, this Rams defense isn't elite. Remember, they let Washington get back in the game. And Dennis Allen understands what Sean wants to do. I kind of think it'll be a closer game. I hate being on the side of the public. I really do. Remember we said this before. When it looks this easy, when is it?
Yep, you're not wrong.
When it looks this easy, why is it? You know, and so there's all this movement to the Rams. And I love the Rams. I bet the Rams quite a bit and recommended the Rams quite a bit. I don't bet, but I recommended them. But this is a little bit of a different game. This will be a physical matchup because the Saints defensively are physical. And if Lattimore, they say he may come back, he's eligible, not certain. They get Olave back in the game. They can move the ball. Look, this Ram defense isn't exactly, you know, the 2000 Ravens here. You can move the ball on them. I think the Rams are a little overvalued here. I really do, Stormy.
I just think that
I like the Rams.
I just think that the Saints could be like two as well into this number because they've won two games back to back at margin. But like in my mind, I'm like, okay, it's still against the Panthers and the Giants though. I have a little bit more belief in what the Rams have put together over the course of a larger sample size.
Well, look, if Ronnie Rivera goes for two and gets it, it's 28-22. And then if he kicks it deep, you know, and it, you know, now all of a sudden, if he can hold him for three plays, they got themselves back in that game. They really did. It's remarkable. Look, I think the Rams are a great story, and I think McVay has. I've said this how many times on our show? He's done the best coaching job of any. This is his best coaching job ever. But they're still not a talented team.
Since their Week 10 bye, scored 28 or more in four straight games. And yes, I agree with you. The Saints defense is certainly formidable. I just really like what LA's doing right now. You're not going to knock me off of this one. And I know you like them too. I understand the fear of the public. I do. But I think I'm probably going to still lay it. We'll see how it goes. We got to take a quick break here. But when we return, we are wrapping things up with a special edition of Why Not Wednesday, everybody's favorite segment. We're looking at some plus money props that could make you want to turn your head to the side and say, why not? We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on hoops. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSiN, that's V-S-I-N, DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Let's hit a couple more of these. Let's hit a couple more of these games when it comes to just the split and the handle disparities and some teams that are getting heavily bet here. One of which being the Cincinnati Bengals, who are laying 2 taking on the Steelers. Mason Rudolph getting the nod over MVP Mitch. We talked earlier, no Ja'Marr Chase in this one, but 81% of bets and 80% of the handle feel comfortable laying it regardless with Jake Browning in the Bengals.
It's funny because you remember a couple of weeks ago, right? You know, wasn't Jake Browning's first game against Pittsburgh and they won 16-10 and covered that number? They were the road favorite and they went in there and covered that game. And now, you know, because of the losing streak of Pittsburgh, which is deserving, now this line has flipped. And even though the Chase injury hasn't threatened them at all. And now I've said this before, look, the Tomlin thing is a concern, right? We understand that. But the last time they played, Stormy, this Pittsburgh offense, which is not very good, gained 421 yards on them. And the Bengals only gained 222. There's familiarity between offensively between these teams. They've played when Cincinnati's played the next week against Jacksonville, then the next week against, when they play the next week against Minnesota, Indianapolis. I mean, all of a sudden now, you know, they kind of found their way. I'm not sure they'll find their way back again. So it's interesting to see why Pittsburgh continues to be the dog. I don't know if I want to play them, but when you beat a team once on their own field, you'll have confidence in the second game.
I am, you know this, sweating out my Steelers season win total. So I could really use this being that spot where everybody's counting out Mike Tomlin and the Steelers find a way and they win at home, being a home dog. So I'm not going to have a bet on this game, but I'll certainly be rooting for Pittsburgh in this spot. Sorry, everybody. Sorry, all 80% of you that have your money on this one. I got to root for the other side. How about the Philadelphia Eagles? They're laying a double-digit spread here against the Giants. It seemed like Tommy DeVito finally got brought back down to earth this past weekend. 85% of the handle is on Philadelphia, but only 68% of bets. So it seems like a lot of people that are bringing tickets over here still have interest in the Giants.
Yeah, well, you know, look, the number, the way Philly, they've scored 49 points in 3 weeks, right? So when they get a double-digit number of a team that's only scored 49, you're sitting there saying, okay, you got a chance to cover this number. Again, also, you know that Philly hasn't been playing well. And the one thing the Giants have been able to do is if they don't turn the ball over, they can play defense. So it makes sense. The number correlation makes sense.
Yeah, apologies on that graphic, by the way. It's not 7.5. The number is 12 right now on DraftKings, so it's continued to grow up from the 10.5 to 12 people in terms of the money, just continuing to pour it in on the Eagles. Do you think that the Eagles could get tripped up in one of these three games just while we're on it? Do you think?
I don't think so. I don't, but I think they're going to have, they could have a dangerous win. I think they could certainly, I think their day of having a dominating win is probably over with. I haven't seen them dominate anybody since week 3 of the season. So, they're going to have to dictate the game. I think these games will be dictating type wins.
Another similar handle and bets discrepancy in this Bears at Arizona Cardinals game. 64% of the bets are on the Bears, but 82% of the money feel comfortable laying it with Chicago.
Yeah, you know, look, the one thing about the Cardinals, they go into Pittsburgh, they don't play great, but they find a way to win that game. Look, I think one of the reasons the Bears, this number is a little bit more than it needs to be, is because people think that Bears' loss was really a win. When in reality, even if they would have won that, if they would have won the game, it was a dangerous win because they did nothing offensively in the game. And they shouldn't have won the game. But because of the way it came out, I think they're getting the benefit of the doubt against a bad Arizona defense, which we know. But this they'll be able to figure out a way to play. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's not like this Bears team is going to be electric and take the game over.
Okay, that leads us to a good pro tip. I know we talked about the article that you wrote on the website posted yesterday, but it is important to break down teams' wins. Like, it's not just winning, but how a team wins. Dominating, dictating, and dangerous, as you put it. We got to be aware of those as we handicap these games.
Yeah, I really do. I think to me, when you're betting a team that's coming off a dangerous win, you know, and a lot of these teams can only win, like New England can only win dangerously, right? Arizona can only win a dangerous game. They need some help. When you're winning dangerously, the other team's helping you win, right? And so you need that. But when you're betting a team that has dominating traits, or you think they do, like the Eagles, you know, you got to make sure they dominated it. And I don't think you could say that. I think you have to be very careful there.
Okay, let's hit the Why Not Wednesday open. We got a couple things I want to hit you with. See if you can invest in the plus money or not. Let's roll it.
Question. Maybe a stupid one, but I'm just spitballing here.
Can it make you say why not?
That wasn't a stupid question.
It's time for Why Not Wednesday.
I mean, why not?
You know when they say it's so crazy it just might work?
We're going to start real quickly. We talked about an exacta with our guy Mike Somich a little bit earlier. He liked the 49ers and the Bills. How about this game this week on Christmas being a Super Bowl preview? Ravens, 49ers, Super Bowl exacta, 5-1. Could you say why not?
Why not? Yeah, I do. Because I think both these teams, if you go through the league, based on what I wrote about on Tuesday for the VSiN column, is they both have had the most dominating wins of any team. And when dominating teams win games, they usually win games, they win playoff games.
See, we told you that was important. Again, VSiN daily pro tips available at VSiN.com. How about this one? Found this interesting. According to PropSpot, a bettor took Brock Purdy to win MVP back in July at 100-1. So 2,000 to win over 200,000. He was offered 90K for his ticket, but he said, no, I want 100. What? Would you, okay, if you were offered 90,000 for this ticket, and I know Brock Purdy is a $2 favorite right now, but there are a lot of people saying it should be Christian McCaffrey, Lamar Jackson's in the conversation. I would say why not to take in 90K. What would you say?
I would say why not too. I wouldn't try. I mean, I wrote a book about why you can't trust the voters because you can't predict what they're going to do. It makes all the sense in the world that Brock Purdy should be the MVP, but are you going to trust him? Do you see the campaign that's been coming out about how he's not going to be the guy? Huh. You know, he's a system quarterback. I think I'm going to why not take the money?
That's what I'm saying as well, just because I feel like, again, voters are human, and even sometimes when everything's telling you this should be it, it's a quarterback award, he meets all the statistical parameters. People are human. Humans make mistakes. And not that it would be a mistake if he didn't win it, but it's not as clear as day that Brock Purdy is going to win the MVP, so I would like to get a nice little profit out of that. How about Kevin Stefanski to win Coach of the Year? 12-1 right now, Michael. Could you say why not?
Oh, why not? That's an easy why not. That's one of the easiest ones we're going to have because, let's face it, I mean, what he's been able to do, and I'm not going to bring the Jets up ever again, but the Jets can't do this. I mean, the Jets can't win games with a backup quarterback, and he can. Give him credit.
So I like it too. I'm totally on this trail. And I mean, Dan Campbell, very deserving. Shane Steichen, D'Amico Ryan, all very, very deserving. But I mean, four quarterbacks that you've gone through, this guy you paid all this money for in Deshaun Watson, not only is he not playing, but even when he was playing, he was only really good for one half. Okay, let's hit another one. Jimmy Graham, Michael, has scored in each of the last three games. He's 25-1 for a first touchdown scorer come Thursday night football. Could you say why not for Jimmy to get in the end zone?
Well, the fact that we know our guy who's not great in the red zone will throw him the football, and Derek Carr, why not go there? He's going to look for him. Look, the one thing I will say, because of the recent touchdown activity and because Carr looks for him, be careful that they double him. Be careful that Raheem Morris is really smart and says, okay, we're going to take Graham out of this equation, because if we can get Carr to have to buy time or look around, then it becomes our advantage, not his.
Okay, so we like the potential of the Ravens making a Super Bowl, but
yeah,
the Chiefs, Michael, are the Chiefs still alive though to get this one seed? Mathematically, it could happen. Plus 450. Could you say why not? Are we out on Kansas City?
I'm out on Kansas City because Stormy, I just watched their offensive line, and it's not good. And I watched them struggle to make plays. I mean, and now Pacheco coming back is going to help them. And the Raiders, look, the Raiders have played good defensively. I think the Raiders will go out there with some sense of confidence. Can the Raiders score on them? I don't know. You know, the Raiders made a big run with Josh Jacobs in the last game, had a big touchdown pass, but then all of a sudden the offense shut down. You know, for me, you know, this Chief offense it's not going to just turn its gears on. We got to stop expecting it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, sometimes we just have to accept maybe they're a little bit different this year, despite winning the Super Bowl last year. It's just not the same team.
Doesn't mean they can't win, but they're different.
No question. Great stuff, as always. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Thank you to Mike Somich, our producers Caesar and Stephanie, for holding down the fort. That's it for us today. Sharp Money is coming up on VSiN. Pablo Torre, if you're watching on DraftKings Network.